Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are going to do a quick tier here. And I say it's quick, but it's only four guys. But I think there's a lot here in terms of, now you could say, I think there's a couple of reasons why it's pretty significant. Number one, you have a couple of guys in here who are, you have three guys in this tier who are multi-hit. You have two guys in this tier who are top six hits. You've got three coming off of top 12 seasons this year. And you've got a whole lot of uncertainty. And so I think it's really interesting in terms of how you treat this tier. Because I do think it matters a lot as to what you might want to do at quarterback two, right? How do you view these guys in the quarterback two lens? How do you view them in the quarterback three lens, right? I think those are different bets. And then if you say, hey, listen, I'm comfortable with, and I'll just run down the guys here. It's Matt Ryan, it's Kirk Cousins, Jalen Hurts, and Derek Carr. I think we could pick and choose in here about who we feel confident in multi-year windows and that sort of thing. But if you just look at the three of them, or excuse me, the four of them, there's very different bets in this range, right? And then there's very, I feel confident maybe with Kirk Cousins as a quarterback three. How great do I feel at 34 years old going in the last year of a contract? And I think he still plays 36, 37, 38 that if he wants to. But how confident do I feel maybe changing teams? Could be a trade. You know, they've got new front office, new coaching staff, right? He has a tradable contract. I'll get into that in a second. But Matt Ryan, similarly, you know, it's very much a 1 year window. And then basically next year they could save, it's a $43 million cap hit next year, almost 44. They could save 28 of that after 2020, you know, cutting him after this year. So they incur a huge hit cutting him this year. You have to, how much is he insulated? He's really probably insulated only a year, but he probably gets another year after that. So you sort of get into all these, and there's a lot of different bets you're thinking about, right, in terms of, and I think that this is a critical think area. So let's get into this one a little bit. We'll get into the specifics here and then talk about some of the bets we might want to make. So Matt Ryan, quarterback 13 in PFF grade. It's actually his third lowest grade of his career. So it's interesting when you sort of look at that, how good he's actually been. And probably a better quarterback than necessarily he's been a fantasy quarterback, which I think is always an interesting distinction. It's probably some of that goes to the running stuff. In AOD 2022, I broke down basically like the percentage of some of the stats in terms of, rushing, for example. Passing yards is down in terms of a percentage of like top 12 and top six scoring, for example. Rushing yards are up. So you sort of look at that, rushing yards as a percentage of that scoring is up. So you sort of look at these things and you say, all right, Matt Ryan is a little bit of an old breed, and it's interesting because we talk about types, Ryan, Cousins, and Carr all going to beat you through the air, not really as much through on the ground. So where Hurts is the exception to that in this particular tier. So I think it's interesting there with Carr, 7.1 yards per attempt. It's his lowest since 2013. His ADOT second lowest of his career at 7.8. Expected points per game, 24th at 17.7. Quarterback 31 in points per game at 14.5. Again, that's using Safe League scoring, as I do with all of this quarterback numbers here. I think you could say about this, hey, what's the, where do we put this going forward? Well, I do think you have to contextualize the fact that you lost Julio. You lost Calvin Ridley basically for half of the year. You're dealing with, at that point, basically a bunch of reserve wide receivers. Russell Gage ends up, becoming, I guess, their de facto one for lack of a better, for lack of a better descriptor of it. And you got Kyle Pitts, you get Cordarrelle Patterson, right? So you sort of get this group of guys that comes in, and you see, you know, it's a lower drop in ADOT, right? It's a, you see those things drop. You know, I'm really interested in, and they basically ate the cap next year, right? They ate the cap hit. Essentially, they ate the cap hit for this. They eat it this year for last year, basically. They had to do something to clear cap between him and Julio, and they ended up trading Julio and then, you know, restructuring Matt Ryan and kicked it over. They could have gotten out of Matt Ryan if they wanted to. And it's interesting that they I don't know if they had a ton of options. And heck, I guess they still could cut him if they wanted to. They would take, you know, it's a $48.7 million cap hit. They would save 8.1 of that and take a $40 million hit. You know, and there's some thought to this. And I mean, you look at teams that have taken huge cap charges before. The Bills took like the biggest dead cap number in the history of the NFL. I think it was at the time. It might have been top since then. And it was like 50 plus million, something like that, over a handful of contracts. It was a Sammy Watkins contract. I think Marcel Darius might have been in there as well. But it was like right when that new staff took over. And yeah, you sort of see they cleared the deck. They kind of ate it and dealt with it early. And this staff is chosen to sort of kick the can. So I say that as all background on Matt Ryan. I don't like. I think he's the 2022 starter. I think if he wants to play a year after that, he'll probably find a market. But if this was the beginning of the end, it wouldn't shock me either. You know, I think it's hard to grade him this year, and I think it's hard to grade him because you're dealing with a lack of weapons. You're dealing with a changing offensive staff. You've sort of got all of these different things that change for him. And that's really can be a tough, tough thing. So I'll say this about Matt Ryan. I think generally speaking, if he's my quarterback too, I need an upgrade just because he's not going to offer a ton of value in terms of really over replacement. I can't project it. He doesn't, you know, I think he has a total fall off season in his range of outcomes, given we saw a little bit of a decline this year. Probably lesser of a decline in terms of actual play than actual fantasy play, right? So as an actual quarterback, I think he declined. As a fantasy quarterback, he kind of fell through the floor. So it wasn't, I don't think his game necessarily fell through the floor. But, you know, you have, and then there's the thought that, hey, they're going to move on from Calvin Ridley. How does the situation get better exactly is the other thing that I would say. So I think he's more in a quarterback three type lens. If he's your quarterback two, I think he probably need to do better. I've got him in a spot where he's a quarterback two, and I got to figure out a way to get better at that spot. Right? That's the key number one goal. So that's the deal with Matt Ryan. Again, if he's three, I think you're fine in that range. The next one's Kirk Cousins. And I think if he's your quarterback two, I don't think it's ideal, but I think it's okay. He'll be 34. You know, he's best PFF grade of his career, 86.8, quarterback five in terms of PFF grade expected at quarterback 14 and expected points per game at 19.2. Actual quarterback eight in terms of points per game, 22.3. So again, basically two-thirds of a touchdown more over expectation. That's basically what that equates to. It's not just touchdowns, but that's what it equates to, just to give you an idea. Best big-time throw since 2014 at 5%. He has 1 year left on his contract, and this is an interesting one. Again, we talked about Matt Ryan a little bit. In terms of their front office, Kirk Cousins, it's going to be a new front office, it's going to be a new coaching staff, and that could be a time for some change. And, you know, how they handle this is going to be really interesting. You know, so it's 1 year, basically $35 million cap hit. Alex Smith, recent comp, third round pick. It was Kyle Fuller as well, along with that third round pick for Alex Smith. At the time, Alex Smith, 10.3%. Of the cap was what he accounted for in terms of his cap hit. Cousins, 16.8% of the cap hit he's projected for on this deal. So The Athletic did a good piece about this. You go check that out over at The Athletic. Talking about this, they, you know, essentially the more, if Minnesota wanted to, they can sort of turn this contract more valuable and essentially try and, for lack of a better word, buy a better pick by giving Kirk Cousins a bonus, accelerate what portion of the cap hit that they could actually take on their side, right? You can reduce the cap number instead of making it $35 million tradable cap hit. He's actually a $45 million cap hit, but he, the way it's structured, they will have to take 35 of it. If he's traded as his contract is right now. So if he were traded to, just using hypothetical teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers would take $35 million as a cap hit right now if they upped the ante in terms of the amount of bonus that they were willing to pay. That'd be out-of-pocket cash that they'd actually have to pay. They could take more of the cap hit on and what they would keep and trade a lesser cap number to the new suitor. So that could be that could be a trade to Pittsburgh, and they could essentially give Pittsburgh a $25 million cap hit by giving Kirk Cousins basically $10 million in cash is the easiest way to do that. And then it's interesting, you know, do you want it? Is that something that you want to do? Well, you know, we've seen this in other spots, right? We've seen this with Houston with the Osweiler deal. I believe that was when they traded him to Cleveland. And then, you know, we've seen this in basketball, for example, where teams will sort of say, hey, we'll do a buyout. We'll do, you know, we'll eat a contract or whatever for the purpose of getting draft equity, right? So we've seen this in other spots. It'd be interesting to see who gets this Minnesota job if that is something that they're willing to entertain. You know, I think that would be a very interesting way, especially if that's a future pick, right? Is that a, hey, we'll do it for a 2023 first, right? Something like that. Like, that's an interesting way to do it. You don't necessarily want to give it for Pittsburgh's first this year, but maybe a future first. So be really interested to watch that. I think Cousins still has stuff left. You know, we could sort of debate, hey, the NFL kind of hates him. A lot of the community, I think, doesn't like him. I mean, another top 12 finish, I'll take it. And I'll take it sort of at what is a quarterback two cost. So I think he's an interesting one. Again, probably I would feel better about him as my quarterback three. I feel better about him than Ryan. But I can, if I had to sort of get along, and if I was sort of playing a two-way go, and I sort of had him as my quarterback two, but I'm not exactly sure how the rest of my team's going to fit in and all those things, like I could see sort of rolling him out there next year. And seeing how the chips fall, and then hey, if this is a situation where I can sort of try and take, you know, other developmental aspects at the position, while I'm waiting, you know, while I've got Cousins, that's fine. If I want to, you know, use Cousins as an upgrade piece, I'm not sure I can do that. It's probably going to be the highest his value will be. Would sort of be my assumption. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where you're at with him. I think he's better quarterback two than Ryan. I think he's probably, you know, if he's your quarterback three, I think you feel pretty ideal about the whole situation. And that's kind of where he's at. You know, I pivoted from him to Watson in season, for example, where I had some depth on my team and wanted the upgrade at the overall upside. And I didn't really need Cousins, but I used him as a pivot piece. So that's the story there with Cousins. The last one in terms of this particular, I would say the older range of the position, you have Derek Carr. He's got a $20 million left, just 19.8 to be precise, left. It's a $19.9 million cap hit. All of it's cuttable. So again, you sort of look at that, like that's much cheaper than a guy like Cousins, for example, and you would figure that's probably more attractive in the trade market if that's where they want to go. Looks like it's going to be new coach, new front office. I think if you're looking for a quarterback as a building block, you'd probably think of Carr a little bit higher than you would Cousins, especially with the difference in age there. So I think he's probably done there, and he's much more he's not going to play out this deal. Cousins, you could see him playing it out. Ryan, you could see him playing it out. I don't think Carr is going to do it. It's too valuable of a number right now. And it's frankly, he deserves a raise, right? So I think there's very little way that he's playing on this particular number. He'll either be extended or he's going to get traded and extended would sort of be my thought. So teams like the Saints would be particularly interested in a contract like this that is cheap. It's for lack of, you know, at the position, it's not expensive. And so cheap is a relative term. It's $20 million. But in terms of quarterback positions, you're not trading for a $35 million Kirk Cousins cap hit, right? That's a big difference. So I think that would be a valuable one if they wanted to trade it. He's quarterback 18 in terms of points per game, 16.8 actual points per game expected at 19.6 points per game. A lot of that has to do with, you know, no Ruggs. I think Bryan Edwards has been a disappointment. You're playing with Zay Jones as your wide receiver one at points. You got Renfro is kind of an undersized option. Waller was out for a while. I mean, he did a lot of, I think, good things this year, especially early on in the season. And then later on, as the season comes through, like, he doesn't have a lot there. But this is the best yardage of his career. Again, you have an extra game there, but even with that, with all the things that he went up against this year, I think it's actually pretty impressive. He's very much in the Matthew Stafford range of the PFF grades over the last like 3 years. So I think that's notable as well. That's basically sort of where those guys are. And you think, hey, if Carr is basically like a discount Stafford, is that a pivot? You know, is that an arbitrage type candidate? I think that's interesting here as we look forward going forward. Is that a spot that you could potentially pivot to, especially if Carr moves, you know, if Carr was the quarterback in, I don't know, New Orleans, for example, right? That would be a situation that would be pretty interesting there in terms of maybe an arbitrage candidate. The last one in this tier is Jalen Hurts. And, like, we struggle to predict the future, right? This is, I mean, one of the strategies I think that's inherent in the analytics of Dynasty is we take wide ranges of outcomes. And that gives me a little bit of pause with Hurts, right? That I don't want to be over my skis in terms of, like, yeah, we're going to make a huge investment at this position if you feel really confident about it. Like, no, we know that to do that. The flip side of that is we don't want to, you know, the flip side is I think we have to think of the fact that even though we don't want to necessarily make a long-term bet, that we are thinking that, hey, there's potential here for a long-term bet. And the thing that I say with Jalen Hurts is, like, he's quarterback 10 overall in PFF grade. He's 14 or 15 in passing grade, depending on sort of how you measure it. And then, you know, he has a really bad playoff performance, like, no doubt, no doubt. And I don't think Jalen Hurts is in this tier, but so did Lamar Jackson as a rookie. And we sort of know how the next year turned out on that. He won an MVP unanimously. He's the worst PFF grade of the postseason thus far. I am recording this on Monday night while the Rams are shellacking the Cardinals. That is, I guess, subject to change. So I could see why a team like Philly would be, this is kind of not what, you know, we've sort of seen this. We sort of know what we're going to do. It's one game. And frankly, they overperformed, right? Like, I don't think anyone really thought, like, hey, here's a team that's going to go to that's not going to have to play in week 18 because they've got a playoff spot locked in, right? That wasn't really conversation coming into the season. Is he a long-term starter? I don't know. But I think actually this is a great way to if you're a team trying to figure it out, right? There's not, we talk about this all the time, there's not 32 franchise quarterbacks walking the face of the earth. And, you know, there might not even be 25. And so you get a situation where you have Matt Ryan, you've got some of these other guys, you're like, at least with Jalen Hurts, you're not paying him any money, right? You're not committed, right? This is a totally, like, hey, we're dating, like, we like each other, like, our families get along, we have a good time together, right? We're not forced to, we talked about this in the offseason, like, we're not forced to commit, You know, this isn't the Baker Mayfield situation where you're moving across the country and, you know, you've been living together and, now's the time to either like propose or not. And no, like this is you're dating, like, you know, we have a good time. Like, we're not necessarily either of us ready to get married yet, but like, let's just keep doing this. Like, we have a really good time together. This is that. And there's no reason to sort of upset that right now. And I don't think there's any reason to upset it because he played well enough to warrant, like, continue to go. Like, it's everyone's still fine. Everyone's having a good time. And you're not in a situation yet where there's a clear other option. Unless it's a Watson trade, right? Unless there's a Wilson trade, right? If you sort of start looking around, this isn't a spot where, hey, there's, you know, there's four top 10 worthy quarterbacks like there were last year, five, I guess, if you want to sort of, you know, be generous there. And we've got three picks in the, you know, in the teens or whatnot. And, you know, we can package them together and move up the board. Like, this isn't that situation from a draft class. So could they just position? Absolutely. Would they be more apt to sort of address it at one of their picks instead of sort of moving up? This very much feels like that type of class to me. Early outset. Again, we're talking January, and I vowed to not talk about rookies until at least February. So, you know, that's just the initial read that we sort of get on it. So, could this continue on? Sure. Like, is the more likely scenario that he's the starter than not next year? I think so. But I don't want to get invested in top 10 costs on him. Like, I think that's a bad idea. But if you said, like, hey, let's pay like quarterback 15 type costs on him, and, you know, we'll pay top 15 costs and quarterback 15 and sort of play him as quarterback 2, and like maybe we got like some other options sort of in that range, like he's one of multiple quarterback 2 type options that we have, that's a little bit more palatable to me. But I don't want to play him over guys that have multiple top 12 seasons on their resume. I don't want to play him over Rodgers feels irresponsible, for example, just to put some names on this. Him over Russell Wilson is irresponsible in my opinion. And those are the big ones in that, you know, him over Stafford would be wrong in my opinion. You know, I think him and Cousins are interesting. I'd probably still take Cousins, right now. Him and Matt Ryan, I could see taking Hurts over Matt Ryan, for example, just to use guys in this tier. Him and Derek Carr, I think, are interestingly close. You know, that's I think kind of where you're thinking about this, very much in a quarterback 2. And if you're going to go two different types of, and this is a good, you know, team building lesson too, if you're going to go two of these guys, maybe you do, instead of going Carr Cousins, maybe you go Carr Hurts, you go, you know, you sort of go Cousins Hurts, right? Instead of going Carr Cousins, right? That they sort of back themselves up. Give yourself some variety, and variety from a couple of perspectives. Ceiling, right? In case Jalen Hurts is the long-term guy, you sort of ensure, you know, you have a mix of ceiling and floor in those two guys. You sort of say, all right, now we've got together those two situations sort of work out. And then you can say at the same time, like, hey, it's variability to trade. You can say, hey, you know, listen, maybe someone's not interested in Cousins, but they might be interested in Hurts, right? And that maybe I can go Hurts plus to, I don't know, Dak Prescott or one of the other guys that we talked about. Like, you could sort of go up the position. I think you'd much rather do that. So, again, in terms of team building, that's a situation that I think you should keep in mind. Have a little bit of layering, have a little bit of variety there that you can, you know, you're taking a little bit of different bets, would sort of be my thought. So, and I'm much more interested in doing that now and at this aspect of my dynasty career than I necessarily am, you know, in prior years. So looking to be a little bit more, you know, I talked about being a little bit more open to what the market's doing and some of those other ideas. Like, I think this is an example of like, hey, you could sort of blend the two. Like, hey, there's similar-ish type bets in terms of maybe odds, you know, overall higher range of outcomes for Hurts, but you sort of are insulating the two of them against each other, getting some upside in there, getting some floor protection, and sort of using the two of them and saying, hey, listen, I have a good quarterback too between these two guys. Right? I think that is a team building exercise is interesting. So two out of Carr, Hurts and Cousins, I think would make a lot of sense from a team building perspective. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. I think one of the big lessons from this all is like, hey, we're constantly trying to move up the position, especially at quarterback, because you're trying to move to more security. So, you know, can you move from this level up to a level that has more security and has a higher level of player? Could you move from Hurts to Aaron Rodgers plus? Right, like those types of things, I think are really the savvy stuff. Like, hey, can we ensure some more longer term stability while adding something to that? Right, like pay the tax. Basically be the tax collector on people wanting, hey, the really attractive long term upside guy, right? And you say, all right, like I'll take old reliable, and you pay me to sort of take the higher risk bet. That's absolutely a situation that I want to be in. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this tier of, I think, very intriguing and interesting quarterbacks. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.